I invite you to turn in the Word of God to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This is God's Word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to see this morning this Psalm 23 and its context within this group of Psalms between 20 and 20, through 24. We looked at the character of the shepherd in the sense of who is he, and clearly saw that he's identified as the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of John's Gospel chapter 10. The good shepherd who has a relationship with this flock through the gifting of the flock to him by the Father. A gifting or a giving of that flock, rather, not a gifting, a giving of that flock to him, which was undertaken in response to the offering up of the shepherd's life for his sheep. Striking that in John's Gospel chapter 10, Jesus repeats himself not once, not twice, but three times. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life. I lay down my life. He lays down his life. His desire is that he would lead us. It's not simply that he makes atonement for our sin. It's not that he bears the wrath that is due to us for our sin and then leads us or leaves us to discern our own way to work through our lives. He redeems us with the precious seed of his own blood, not the imperishable of silver or gold, but the blood of the Lamb. He redeems us with that he would then be the one who would lead us in the path of righteousness. There is a purpose for our salvation. There is a reason why we are sheep within the governance of the shepherd. It is in order that he will be the one that we will follow. That the path of righteousness is clearly marked for us, and it's marked for us that we might not simply live for our good, but for the Father's glory. And there is great security and great comfort in those words at the end of verse 3, that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is upon us. His name is upon us. And all that Jesus does for us is to keep us within that relationship. He speaks in John 10 about the fact that those who are in the Father cannot be taken out of the Father. My Father who has given me to them is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Our guarantee of completing our journey on the path of righteousness does not rest in our commitment. It does not rest in our ability. It doesn't rest on whether we have an office in a church or not. It doesn't rest on how many times we've been at church or been to the prayer meeting or at a mat, or done other aspects of service that we engage in the life of the church. All those things are good and healthy and necessary, but none of them guarantee our reaching the end of this path. There is only one reason why we can be assured of that guarantee, and that's for His name's sake. God's reputation, as it were, and I put the words at stake in inverted commas because they are not at stake, because nothing can be done to take us out of His hand. But it's God and His honor, it's God and His glory that will see the work of Christ sustained in our lives and carry us to the end of that path. We, though, do have a responsibility. We must listen to His voice. It's a wonderful, simple opening statement when it says, Jehovah, Lord, is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we actually believed that completely? If we, in every aspect of our lives, could accept that simple statement, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. How much anxiety would that take away from us? How many stolen minutes from our lives are spent wastefully considering that which we have no control over? If we only could learn that we will not want, that I shall not want, not because of who I am or what I do, but because of the shepherd. Because of the shepherd, there's nothing that can happen in my life that will leave me wanting for anything. If only we could have that seared into our minds. I spoke to the children this morning and I talked about the desire, if I could open up their minds and their hearts and write on their name, write on their hearts and their minds, to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Those of us who are adults, if I could open up our hearts and put under that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. No matter what, I shall not want. What a difference that would make to our lives. The picture that's painted in the words that follow is quite an idyllic picture, isn't it? I'm sure that you have in your head as you read, He leads me down, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. If you have a picture of that in your mind, you think of sheep lying in a very green pasture with a stream running nearby. And it's very, very picturesque and idyllic. But the reality is in our lives that not everything is idyllic. We don't live in an idyllic world. We don't live in a daily experience which is met with idyllic. Certainly some days are good, some days are very good, but The reality is there's a lot of days that are difficult. And the world of an animal, the sheep, is not easy either. The sheep are not good animals if they're not at ease. If there's tension in the flock, they won't lie down. Sheep are very, very highly strung animals. They need to be free from stress. That's why when a dog goes into a field and worries sheep, the actual process of the worrying of the sheep can cause great damage to the flock. If there are any ewes and lamb, that can be the end of the lamb. Sheep can become highly stressed animals just by that event. They need to be free from pests. They need to be free from parasites. They need to be well fed. If they're not hungry, sheep won't lie down. So this picture of the shepherd taking the sheep and facilitating their lying down is not just a scene of just taking them and getting them to lie down. There's a lot involved in the whole process of getting a sheep to the place where they're at ease, where they're comfortable and they're at peace, where they'll eat and they'll eat without any distress. And in many ways, aren't we just the same? It doesn't take a lot in our lives to cause us to worry. A health issue, a financial concern, an issue with one of the children, an issue with an elderly relative. We've said something to someone, and we think in our head, I wonder if they understood what I was saying. I wonder if they got it right, or I wonder if they've misunderstood it. And you're being charitable. You're not being negative when you say that. And when you're anxious, it's hard to lie down and be at peace. You may lie down in your bed, but your mind's going, and you can't get at peace. I trust I'm not the only one who experiences that. If there's tension in our lives, in the family, or in the life of the church, we find it difficult. We become, if we're agitated, we find it, we're tossed and we turn, we're unsettled. And we find it even difficult to eat. The food's going into our mouths. But if you asked us 10 minutes after we've eaten what we've eaten, we couldn't tell you what we've eaten. We've just gorged it down, and there's no sense that we ever ate a meal. If someone said you had a meal, you would say, "Did I?" You're just going through life, and it's not as if you're actually experiencing it. That's why the shepherd, he is so important to the sheep. And he's so important to our lives. Sheep leads. The shepherd leads the sheep. He leads them. And by his presence, by his physical being there, he brings a calm. His presence denotes provision and protection. And that provision and that protection spells rest for the physical sheep. And so they are at rest, and they will lie down and they will eat. And so it is with us. We have to understand that this shepherd loves us. And that we will not want, not because we don't have needs, but because he loves us and he will protect and provide for us. It may not seem that way, but this is a promise. I shall not want because he makes me lie down in green pastures. I trust him because of who he is. We need to move away from just seeing Jesus as the man who died on the cross, who paid the penalty for my sin, and therefore because of that I'm going to heaven. We need to understand that reality. Maybe some of you actually have to believe that reality for the first time in your life. We have to move into the situation where we're believing in Jesus as the one who is with us, who cares for us, who brings peace to us, who will enable us to lie down and be at peace and be at rest and enjoy the life that we have. It's all about the shepherd. Take the shepherd out of the realm of the sheep, and the sheep quickly become anxious and tension-filled. They won't lie down. Bring the shepherd into the relationship. Have him center place. And suddenly, all is well in the flock. And so it is in our lives. We need to keep seeing Jesus as a shepherd at the center of our lives. It speaks of the leading beside still waters. It's so important to understand that still waters in Scripture refers to waters that are under the influence of God. In Psalm 46, we read about the raging waters. Verse 3, and they're raging because the nations are angry against God. And the picture is one of this raging water. And the raging water symbolizes the animosity and the tension against God. But it speaks about the stream that flows gently through the city of God. Psalm 124 paints the same picture. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and many times he was out in the boat and there was a storm hurling around him. And how then Jesus went out and calmed the storm. How his presence in the boat when he's lying sleeping, and all the sailors and these guys were used to bad weather. It wasn't just that they got a wee bit seasick when the boat tipped a wee bit like you and I would do. These guys were sailors. They were fishermen. They understood. They understood the waves. They understood the sea. They understood the winds that were on that sea. And yet you find at times that they were in real fear. They were in peril of their death. They weren't making it up. And Jesus is lying resting in the bow of the boat, and they waken him up, and he comes out and he speaks, and the sea becomes calm. When you read of raging waters in Scripture, it's that which is symbolic of the devil's presence and his evil power. When you speak of and read of still waters, it speaks of the presence of Christ among his people. Sheep won't drink from fast-moving waters. There's a small book written on this psalm by a Scottish minister who had been a shepherd, a man called Douglas Macmillan, who died, I'm sure, 20 years ago now. He speaks as a shepherd of a personal experience he had of bringing sheep down from a hill. He said, talks about maybe the journey was 3 or 4 miles. And he writes, the sheep were so thirsty that their tongues were literally hanging out of their mouths. But as they were making their way down, they had to ford 2 burns. But the water was passing fastly over the gravel-based stream, and none of the sheep would stop and drink. They were thirsty. They were parched with thirst. And they had to actually make their way through the water. But the water was traveling so fast down these wee burns that the sheep wouldn't stop and drink. And it was only when they got down into the meadow, as it were, and they came to a stream that was just running gently, that then they all stopped and they all began to drink of that which was there. And there's a sense in which we need Christ present in our lives through the raging streams of our lives when life is being carried away, as it were, and we don't have time to stop, we don't have time to think, we're rushing from here, we're rushing to there. And what we need to do is to drink of the still water. And only Christ can make that happen. Only Christ can make that happen. We can certainly rearrange our schedule. But here's the problem, isn't it? Sometimes in our lives we're chasing our tails. And we say we must rearrange our schedule, or we must change this, we must change that. And we change it for a day or two. And suddenly we find, oh, everything's fine again. Everything's well. But we haven't really changed anything at all. Because we haven't sat down and talked to God. We haven't sat down and talked to Christ. We haven't listened to the voice of the shepherd. We haven't heard what he would say. And so what we find is that we get into a pattern again of within 2 or 3 weeks or a month later, we're back to exactly where we were before. Exactly where we are. Because we haven't listened to him. We've tried to sort it out ourselves. In the wilderness, God provided for his people manna, and he led Moses to strike the rock, and the water came gushing out of the rock. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus speaks about that manna and the fact that it's the word of God. Remember when the devil comes to Jesus the first time and tempts him? Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. Well, during that season of fasting anyway. He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And this is what Jesus responds. And he's quoting here from Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, which speaks about the occasion in the wilderness when God provided manna for his people. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so there is Jesus quoting from a passage that is referencing the manna, the provision of God for his people in the wilderness. And there's a direct correlation between that manna and the word of God. And so that raging stream in our lives, that time when we cannot, as it were, settle our souls, that time when nothing seems to be falling into place, we need to step aside. And we need to dwell on the fact that he's our shepherd. When Moses struck the rock and the water gushed out at the same time, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, that rock was Christ, and the water that flowed was spiritual drink. The only sustenance we have as Christians is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we chase after anything else, and I'm not saying we don't need to go and work. Of course we need to go and work. I am not saying that we shouldn't enjoy life. Of course we should enjoy life. But when our life journey along this righteous path is marked by a wandering after joy in another source, we will not be happy. We will not be happy. Because that discontentment in our souls will mean that we will not lie down in the green pastures. That lack of peace in our hearts means that we will not find the stream that we need to drink from. And because of that, our souls will not be restored. And if our souls are not restored, we will be unhappy. No matter what we have, we will be discontent. No matter what we own, we will not be at peace. Because if the shepherd is not providing for us that rest and that stillness and that restoration of soul, we simply will be at ill ease. Forget that. Forget the reality of the need of Christ in our lives. And you will starve. You will starve in terms of your relationship with him, and you will starve in terms of your peace of your soul. He is food for the mind. He does bring pleasure to the soul. The Word of God does revive our souls. Our relationship with the Shepherd is one that's marked by His love for us. And we need to own that. We need to understand that. For if we don't understand that, the rest of the psalm cannot be our experience. He speaks of the journey through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. That's not just talking about death at the end of life. There are many shadows in our lives at various times. There are times when we walk through the shadow of the valley and we're not going to die, but that shadow of sin and death upon us is such that it overwhelms us. But the only way in which we can walk through that shadow without fear is if we have the Shepherd consciously with us. The only way in which we can have that peace is if we have the Shepherd watching over us. The only way we can enjoy that experience, if enjoyment can be a word that can be used in such moments, is if the Shepherd is with us and He deals with us. He deals with us in a sense. The rod protects us from the enemy. The rod He uses, the Shepherd's rod, was used to fend off against the wild animal. The staff was a passive instrument brought in order to provide nurture and care. And we need both. We need the Shepherd caring for us by protecting us from the enemy. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking to destroy us, seeking to isolate us, seeking to separate us off. And if he can separate us off, then he will worry us. He will come after us, and he will cause us to be worn down. He'll cause us to become wearied and tired. Mentally tired, emotionally tired, and spiritually tired. And we need to have the relationship with the Shepherd and the path so that when the wolf comes nipping at our heels, the Shepherd is there and He is dealing with that wolf. He is knocking him back. He is broaching him and not allowing him to come to us. We need Him to consciously be there for us. He is there for us. He is there for us. But we need to be listening to His voice as we walk along the path. If we wander off the path of righteousness, if we go off after that which we think is right, then we're not going out with the bounds of His reach. For there is nowhere on earth where He cannot reach. But what we are saying is, we don't want Your reach to extend us any longer, because we want to go off into a territory to try the grass out here or try the water out here. We want to go off on our own. We want to try this little deviant route. And it's not that His reach won't be sufficient to draw us back. Of course it is. But it's if we go out. You see from Scripture how time and time again God came to his people and said, if you want to walk away, then that's, you walk away. You walk away. And then, of course, they came to their senses. And they cry out to God for salvation. And what do we read in Judges? God came and delivered them. They walked away. He came and delivered them. He came and delivered them. The rod is there to protect us. When we stray and we think that we can defend ourselves and we can do the right thing, that is the most vulnerable time in our lives. Because it's not that we're beyond His reach, but we're declaring to Him, leave me alone. I can do it myself. And I'm not talking here about not coming to church. And I'm not talking about walking off into wild sinful practices. I'm talking about the simple wanderings. The heart wandering. The wandering after those things that we think will bring us more satisfaction than God. The investment of time and energy into that which we think will please us more than what God can please us. can still be physically in church and yet our hearts and our minds wandering after that which is not on the path of righteousness. The staff brings provision and care. They comfort me. They comfort me. For you are with me. You are with me. It's the shepherd is with me. Your protection and your provision is real. I sense it. I feel it. I experience it. I know it. I can see where you've delivered me. I can see where you've cared for me. I can feel where you've comforted me. And the promise of the preparation of the table in the presence of the enemies. A table full and overflowing with nourishment. And the enemies look at him and they see the table and they see it bound and overflowing. And the anointing of the head with oil and the cup overflowing. Again, the care and the provision. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Filled with joy, filled with believing. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Walking through the experience. You know, sometimes in our lives there are experiences we think we will never come out the other side of. We think we'll never come out the other side of it. There's something that's so deep about it. There's something that has happened that has such consequence that it has burned so deeply within us that we feel that we will never, ever be able to come out the other side. But we will. And we can. Not because we're determined and we're going to make it work, but because the shepherd loves us. And the shepherd will lead us by green pastures. The shepherd will take us to drink from the stream. The shepherd will restore the soul. The shepherd will protect. The shepherd will care. The shepherd will give us all the blessings that we could desire. He will give us goodness. Mercy will be our experience. They shall follow us, not just for a day or a week or a month or a season, but all of our lives. If we will but know him and love him, if we will but know and love this good shepherd who has laid down his life for us, if we will but know him experientially, every day of our lives, every day of our lives, if we will speak with him and we will listen to him and we will submit our will to him, we will seek his counsel and we will choose his path, the path of righteousness, goodness and mercy, then we will find the joy that we so desperately crave and seek elsewhere. This is the problem, you know, with us. The problem with us is this craving for that which we think is elsewhere, and we have it in our hands. We have it in our hands. We want to have it elsewhere. There's something within our nature that says it's better over there. It's better over there because I can attain it for myself. Whereas this humility of the sheep to be led, this humility of the sheep to lie down at the instruction of the shepherd, this ability of the sheep to give over their soul, this ability of the sheep to walk after and follow the shepherd, this ability of the sheep even in the shadow of death to fear no evil, the ability of the sheep to allow the shepherd to use his rod and his staff, the ability of the sheep to receive the love of the shepherd and the comfort the shepherd brings, the ability of the sheep actually to receive the love of the shepherd, to receive the love of the shepherd. Are not a lot of our anxieties born because we don't feel loved? Our concerns about other people are because we don't think they love us. I wonder how our lives would be turned around if we actually understood how much He loves us and we stopped worrying about other people loving us. I genuinely think if we understood how much He loves us, that we would see that other people love us more than what we think we love are loved. That we wouldn't be investing ourselves in seeking their love. That what we'd be investing ourselves is Him and His love for us. And we would actually listen to what He says when He says, you know, this person does love you in reality. They do care for you. They care for you because I care for you. And to know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why would we seek anything other than His righteousness? Why would we seek anything other than His kingdom? Why would the dwelling in the house of the Lord not so consume us, that would be our priority in our lives? That would be the overwhelming priority. I'm going to spend eternity with God and Jesus Christ. I'm going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. Why did I waste my time pursuing after things that are of no eternal value? It's a question I often ask myself. I'm not talking about living in the clouds. I'm not talking about going off and having a hermit experience. But actually the idea, the concept, the truth that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Should that not draw me to the shepherd who is taking me along the path of righteousness to that place? Should that not excite me? Should that not motivate you to love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind? Rest in your relationship with Him. Be excited and delight in the opportunities of that relationship. And enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. And this relationship, and this anointing, and this goodness and this mercy. What a blessing we have. What a blessing we have. Please dwell on it. Please consider it. Please ask God to impress these words on your heart and your mind and your soul. For they are good counsel to your life. They are not just theological instruction. They are good counsel to your life here and now. Amen.